another round of racing and rocking with Dragnus.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Wright. And in the right lane, John.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight. And tonight, we feature John Troxell, one of the true veterans in the Nostalgia Funny Car movement. He's been out there for about a decade, and we'll ask John what it's like out there racing among the hardcore, Elky-powered floppers with those great old bodies. I'll ask some racing questions. John will ask some rocking questions. That's my John Bachelman. And, of course, you can join our live chat during the show. Just go to racersreunion.com. But without further ado, let's bring him on. John Troxell, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. Now, it just occurred to me, were we saying Troxell or Troxell? Which way do you prefer?
Troxell.
Troxell. Sounds good. I guessed it right. I should have just kept my mouth shut and kept on rolling. But So it's great. You know, you got that beautiful, beautiful Dodge Challenger with the gold, you know, the gorgeous copper color paint, been out there for about a decade, longer than many Nostalgia Funny Car racers. And when I remember when your car came out, it blew everybody's mind. It looked so great. It was so retro looking, so cool. Lots of chrome, lots of beautiful paint. Tell us about the splash you made when you hit the funny car scene.
Well, you know, there wasn't too much done that way, and I just wanted. I haven't been a racer all my life. I was been a car guy all my life, but I always did a lot of show cars and stuff, and I always wanted a funny car from when I was a little bitty kid, and so I had some show cars, and the market got kind of up there, and I sold them out and had a little bit of money, so I did a car like I wanted. You know, it probably really wasn't that practical in the long run, but I didn't know then what I know now, so I just did it, you know, and my buddy Ed Thomas painted it, and he's done stuff for me forever, and he'd never even done a metal flake paint job before.
Wow.
And he worked on it for 2 years, and we went to painting on it one Saturday about noon, and about 1 o'clock, and I can hardly take the fumes, but about 1 o'clock in the morning, he come out and he started getting a lot of lacquer in her rags, and I said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to wipe that off." And I said, "No, you ain't. You're going to keep on painting it. It looks good to me." But he kept painting it, and then it turned out really good. And I called Kenny Youngblood, and I thought, "God, there's no way I can afford him." But he just happened to be coming to a street rod show in Iowa, so I took it to Iowa, and Kenny said, "You know, I can't letter that good anymore. I can do the grill and taillights, and we'll have Tom Kelly letter it." And so my wife and I and Ed, we went up there, and Kenny did the grill and taillights and some of the bees on it, and Tom Kelly did it, and it was just phenomenal to see it just come alive, you know, in front of you for them guys to do it, you know. So then we've been off, you know, trying to run it ever since.
Well, it is a work of art, and you know, and of course you have running it with some big names. We'll talk about that in a second, but kind of tell us, so that was it, you really weren't a racer before you started in the car show business, right?
No, I'd been around race cars and this and that to a degree, but you know, I grew up in a little town and never had a lot of money, and you know, I lived 100 miles from a drag strip when I was a kid, and my dad took me and my brother when we were little kids. We could hear the radio ads on WHB in Kansas City, and my mom and dad weren't poor, but they didn't have a lot of money, and my dad said, "Well, if you boys want to go, you need to get some money together." And I said, "Well, how much do we need, Daddy?" And he said, "Oh, you know, probably $40 would be enough." And And so he thought, you know, he'd blow us out. And so it was like the next Thursday, and we said, Daddy, what time are we going to leave and go to the races? And he says, well, have you boys got $40? And said, well, we got $60. So he took us. He took us for 3 years. You know, once a year. So that was the only exposure I really had to drag racing when I was a kid, you know, until I got my driver's license and stuff. Then got married and jobs and all that. And I used to work about 80 hours a week, run the bread route, but I was able to buy some muscle cars and restore them with my buddy Ed, and mm-hmm. and as the market came up, I would sell them and kind of move up, you know, and did that for a long, long time, picked rocks out of tires and armor old tires and worried right. about wiring harnesses underneath the dash and
right.
part numbers on starters and the right color springs on brakes and stuff.
Right. But so you were one of those crazy car yeah. show guys that like checked yeah. every last thing. That's pretty amazing.
Yep. Did all that stuff, you know, the part numbers and date codes and exhaust brackets and, you know, we did all that stuff. And it's fun, but after a while, there's nothing, you know, all you can do is wash your windows on it and start it and roll it in and out of a trailer, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I still like them, you know. Yeah.
Heck of a lot of people do it. You know, we go to a lot of these nostalgia events. Of course, I announce a few here and there, and there's always a car show aspect and a racer aspect, and those guys are, for the most part, pretty separate. The car show guys do their thing, and when they get right. the trophies out, they head out, and then the racers keep doing
yep.
their thing.
Yep.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the great thing about it, let's fast forward to the future. I want to talk about the last 10 years, but one of the things that's very, very interesting in the last 2 or 3 years is that you have one of the legends, and I mean, you know, a lot of people say legend, they toss that word around, but one of the true legends of the drag racing sport, tuning your car for you. Roland Leong, the famous Hawaiian, is turning the wrenches here and there, at least, and I know I saw you guys last year at Marion County, Ohio, at the Funny Car Nationals, and tell us what it's like to have Roland turning the wrenches.
Well... It's intimidating at times, to say the least. You know, I used to put on some events, and I mean, got to be friends with Roland. I mean, he's just he's the most driven, competitive guy I've ever, I think, known. And, you know, he just loves racing, and his mind goes all the time. I mean, why he messes with me, I have nothing to offer him. you know, we could embarrass him pretty easily, but he's just a hell of a guy. I mean, you know, it just shows what kind of a friend he is. You know, he just said, I'll help you. And I said, oh, I can't afford you, Roland. You know, and he said, oh, no, I'll help you. You know, you're my friend, I'll help you. And and he has, you know. Now, you know, you have to do what he says, but it's just intimidating at times. You know, I'm not, don't always have the budget of Don Prudhomme, but we do the best we can, and I can't tell you what all he has taught me and the people that helped me on my car. I mean, it's just unreal. You know, you couldn't go anywhere and get the education of no. you know, fuel systems and just so much common things that you don't even think about that you know he's done for 50 years.
Right.
It's just unreal, you know, unreal.
Yeah, but, you could buy a class like that, but it cost you several thousand dollars, and you'd have to get his time. Pretty amazing.
But, I mean, it's just, you know, and when I call somebody on the phone, you know, maybe you get some answers and maybe you don't, but when he calls, he's usually talking to the president of the company, and he gets answers. That's kind of the difference, too. So, I mean, just a phenomenal friend and help, and we try not to embarrass him too bad.
Well, I think he's proud to be with you guys. Certainly looks good. He's in one of the great photos of my career is one taken in front of your car last year at Marion County. There's me and my friend Dale, who's on the chat line tonight, and Roland, and gosh, who was the fourth guy in the picture? Joel Crazy Jack Red. And that was a lot of fun. So I know Dale's been sharing that around quite a lot. Yeah, Barb Santucci, our producer, was there as well. So that leads us to this year. So you're heading to Pittsburgh in July? Will we see you again?
Well, no, we're not able to go. The guy that drives my car, Chris Snyder, is also the head of the Victory Nostalgia Superstock Association, and they've got a race scheduled at Cedar Falls that same day, so we're not going to be able to go this year.
Aw, that was cool. But well, let's talk about the car show stuff, because you put on, and I don't remember the details of it, and forgive me for not having the details, but I got you on here to fill me in. You actually had a big event, a car show, slant race, or something near where you live a couple of years ago, didn't you?
We did several, muscle car reunions, Kansas City and St. Louis, and we did them, I don't know how long, 6 or 7 years, but, Kansas City is gone. The track is went away. The city bought it, and it's supposed to be turned into a park. And back in St. Louis, Dover owned it, and then it was closed. And we just thought, gosh, we're going to quit while we're behind. And so we got out of the event business.
Yeah. Oh, it's an interesting deal. I did it for a couple of years myself in the early '00s, whenever nostalgia was kicking off, and wrote a lot of checks and looked at some empty stands and looked at some rain and one of those things. Did not have the budget for.
I remember one time in St. Louis, we got up and there was 0% chance of rain that particular Saturday, and it was a Saturday night show that we had, and we had a lot of advertising and everything, and guess what happened on Saturday night about 5 o'clock.
Right.
It rained and lightning, like no tomorrow, So much for the weatherman and 0% chance of rain. But, that's just part of it, part of it. Not much you can do but complain.
It's the deal you make, and I do better running my mouth on an internet show. That's where I belong.
Well, I've known some other legend in their own mind, funny car guys that wanted to tell me how easy it was, and I always told them put their money where their mouth is and show me how to do it, but they just stay in the northern part of the U.S. and mouth off on chat boards about how easy it is to do, but I haven't seen them put any events on.
it's difficult, it's a difficult thing. So, but it was fun. I'm glad to have done it.
We learned a lot, and when you see it from both sides, you've got a little better perspective on it,
Right. So great. Well, we'll miss you in Pittsburgh, but it's great to have seen you the last couple of years, and we'll catch you somewhere.
Yeah, I wish we could go, but it just didn't work out this year. So.
Yeah, that happens. Well, tell us about, you've been out there 10 years, learned a lot, obviously, starting really more fresh than I realized, and what are some of the changes you've seen in the last 10 years that really kind of take you back? Looking at these cars.
Well, a lot of the stuff, I guess, has gotten more so away from what you think is being nostalgia. It just got more competitive. the advancements and stuff is really, it's nice to think about the old days, but it doesn't work that well, you know, to run them like that. So, you know, a lot of people are going to a data with a computer and, you know, a lot more modern equipment. You know, a lot of cars, there's nothing on the car that's old. You know, it's fresh. It's brand new. And like I said, if I knew then what I know now, why I'd probably be in the same boat, but it's too late. You know, you're already too invested with what you've got to go back.
Right.
You know.
Well, you've got something that nobody else has. You know, I'm telling you, and is that, I'm sure many folks have told you. I mean, that is just it captures the essence of that era.
Yeah, but when you throw that body up on it, you know you throw it up. I mean, we have it off, and it's heavy. You know, the newer carbon fiber and even fiberglass bodies, you know, it's just we don't need our biggest guy to throw up a body on one of them. But
right,
that's a lot of changes that way.
Folks don't realize. I mean, let's talk about that a second. That is an old Loki chassis. It's an old Della Woods funny car with a Loki chassis and a Romeo Palamides body. I mean, that is the real deal. And of course, now you said your friend, Ed Thomas painted it for 13 straight hours. I mean, that paint is heavy when you coat it on there, isn't it?
Right, but even before that, you know, the fiberglass work that was done on it was unreal. The back wheel wells from one side to the other was off about 2 inches.
Wow.
You know, I mean, so, you know, we had to cut one wheel well and move it. It had the whole front end knocked off of it at one time. It had been on its roof. It had a whole back piece knocked off. I mean, I've got pictures, you know, when we had everything stripped down and stuff. It just looked like a moth had eaten it or something. I mean, just everywhere of all the cracks and everything. And so that's what took so long to repair it and get it back square and straight. I mean, it was monumental undertaking.
Yeah.
And you know, today, you know, you could buy a brand new body, you know, from Rossetti or somebody like that and have it painted and lettered and be ready to go in 2 weeks,
right.
You know, and have nothing in it compared to what we did to that body. But there was nowhere to go buy a body or anything like that. You know, when we did it, there was none available, period.
Right.
You know.
Well, and you were doing it the old school way for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we didn't know any better, so here we are.
Well, it sounds like the story of Cinderella, because when that baby hit the ball, everybody's eyes were turned. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, we tried to do it, you know. I didn't really want to copy anybody. I didn't really want to have to stand up, you know, for anybody's name or anything like that. So I just did it, you know, if I'd have been doing a car and I picked 1971 because basically when I first started, everything on the car was available in 1971. There wasn't anything on the car when I started that wasn't available in 1971. So that's why we did it as a 71. And I think it turned out good. You know, it's sure not the fastest car by any stretch of the imagination, but we just did the best of our ability, and here we are.
Well, it looks great. It runs hard, and it's, you know, and it's just extra time for us to see it go down the track that we can look at it that way. Well, let's talk to John Bockelman here, because maybe he'll take you back to 71. Let's talk about some racing questions or some rocking questions here.
Yeah, John, we'd like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
Well, I really like, you know, rock music. I mean, I listened to some old country music, too, just because my dad listened to it. so much. I hated it at the time, but now I kind of listen to it a little bit. But
all right. Yeah, any particular era of rock and roll that that you would favor at this time?
Well, you know, it's all going to be classic rock that I would listen to, you know, from basically like 68 on, you know. And,
Me too.
But, you know, Led Zeppelin and Lynyrd Skynyrd and, you know, Allman Brothers and, you know, things like that. That's what I like, you know.
Wow.
Eric Clapton, you know.
It's great stuff, man.
Yeah.
What about if when you're on your way to the track or if you're, you know, getting ready to run an event with your car, is there ever a song that you get in your head that that gets you pumped up?
I don't know. I don't know what that would be off the top of my head. My head's usually so clouded I don't have room for anything like that, but I always think about Traveling Man, you know, because it seems like I do a lot of traveling and just everything I do, you know, I'm business, car oriented. You know, I always just think about that. But I listen to that some. But
that's, you know, I always like to
mine and Radar Love. When I think about that too, I used to when I was younger, it used to come on a lot, you know, and the long version on a local radio station here, and I'd listen to that a lot. But
you know, that's funny you should say that.
Probably, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest "Radar Love" is that's got to be the ultimate car song, man. It's relentless and it always fits the situation.
Yeah,
that is great. Well, what about live shows? Have you been to any live concerts recently?
Well, the last my wife and I, we just went to Iowa and seen George Thorogood here about a month or so ago at Davenport at one of those casinos up there. And I think the last time we'd seen anybody before him, we went to the Lawrence Welk Theater in Branson, and we seen Lynyrd Skynyrd there, and then another time we seen Three Dog Night there. And I always think about that at the Lawrence Welk Theater. But gosh, I don't remember. You know, I've been to. I don't remember anything else recently that I've been to. But yeah, about a month ago we seen George Thorogood, and I'd never seen him before. I always like him and would like to see him, and I just happened to see he was going to be there, and we were loose, so we drove up there and seen it. Really good show.
Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, I wish we could see you when we're in Pittsburgh coming up this summer at the Funny Car Nationals. But I'm driving up from Houston for that, so I'm gonna miss seeing you there. But
I'm gonna go.
It'll be a couple of days there and a couple of days back, you know. So, and my wife has relatives over in that area, so I'll drop by and visit them too.
Right. And, well. Maybe you guys will pass on the road somewhere, but
there you go.
Well, it's been so great having you join us tonight, John. I look forward to seeing you somewhere down the road. It won't be this year, or it won't be at least July, but keep on rocking it, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Troxell, the beautiful nostalgia funny car driver from the Kansas City area. Well, he's beautiful, too, but his car is certainly beautiful. Let me put it that way. Thank you, sir. And let's turn it over to John Bachelman for this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week.
Well, thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Nathan Chesler from Evans City, Pennsylvania. Nate was recommended to me by our friends with the Dad's old-fashioned drag racing group, Don Turner and Gordon Jenkins. Thanks, guys. Nate is one of the most popular and respected racers in his region. He's a consistent performer both on and off the track. Being known to lend a hand or supply a part to any of his fellow racers if they need some help making the next round. He has his own company, Cage Rage Fabrication, which builds drag racing cars of all kinds, specializing in all chassis tube work and power adder fabrication.
That wasn't easy to say. He does power adder fabrication. Having been in business for a little over a year now, Nate's company is receiving rave reviews, and he looks to be staying busy with CRF for quite some time to come. Nate's car is a 93 Ford Mustang that remains with a stock suspension and is powered by a 598 cubic inch big block Chevy engine. It runs a single induction solutions X275 direct port and a Power Glide transmission. The car has run a best of 487 in the 8th mile and a 758 at 180 miles per hour in the 1320. Nate said he would like to thank his wife Jana for supporting what he does, and he is a proud father of his 4-year-old daughter Paige. Nate said Caleb Portis and Scott Bartos are a huge help and are always available when it's crunch time. And this year is the focus on the real street class with Nate's car, and they're going to campaign Caleb's car in Outlaw Limited Street. Nate's Mustang is street legal, and he said he's super excited for the upcoming drag week. He's just about ready to start testing. He said, you may even see the car drive into a dad's race towing its own trailer. The schedule for this event is grueling, but I have no doubt that Nate is up to the task. September the 10th is at Cordova for registration and test and tune. September the 11th is at Cordova for racing day one. September the 12th is at Gateway Motorsports Park for racing day two. September the 13th is at Byron Dragway for racing day three. September the 14th is at Great Lakes Dragway for racing day four in Union Grove, Wisconsin. And September the 15th is back to Cordova for the final day of racing. Nate will drive his car to all five tracks and compete against his many friends from the region who are also going to be involved. It will be interesting to see how it all turns out. And Nate, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, as always, it was outstanding, and great to hear about these racers week in and week out. Let's go on to Lost Friends, folks. We only have one to report this week. Even one is sad, but Jerry Sargentson from Sargentson's Racing passed away here in early May, and in our condolences to his many family and his family and many friends, Jerry Sargentson passed away just this last week. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show. Another great one. I love talking to John tonight. I want to thank John Troxell, of course, John Balkeman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Dragon News DeBoer. Now, folks, here's the thing. We are off on May 22nd, 29th, and June 5th. We're taking 3 weeks off due to a combination of Memorial Day and some business requirements that are keeping us away from the studio. So, you know, as we take this opportunity to tell you to have a great spring vacation, a great Memorial Day, and we will see you back here on June 12th. So, if you're playing hooky listening to the radio tonight, you're going to have to do all your homework over the next 3 Mondays because we won't be here to bail you out. Folks, have a wonderful, wonderful spring, and we'll see you in mid-June. Adios.
Down on the border late one night, my friend and I were in the white spotlight. The border guards carried us away.